Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. My name is Priscilla Leona, and I am producer and host of this show. And we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show worldwide. And this show is for you if you are considering your career in show business. You can also be currently pursuing it, or thinking about pursuing it. Our guest on this show provide advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. Now, the guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, voiceover. I feel like I should be singing this. Voiceover actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, novelists, script supervisors, stunt people, special effects directors, and we throw in the wonderful entertainment attorney once in a while. As a matter of fact, we have two fantastic A-list entertainment attorneys coming on in December, so you definitely want to tune in. They rep some really big people, which we'll talk about. I'm not going to tell you. Have to tune in. What is special about this show is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from obviously celebrity status to professional. And once in a while, we throw in the novice or the beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show to answer all of your show business career questions. Now, if you missed any of our shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, go to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website and search for our show title, Question Reality, or search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can listen or download 24 hours a day. Imagine listening to this little squeaky, whiny, pip squeaky voicey for 24 hours a day. Yes, you can. But don't include any Vaseline at 12 o'clock midnight, because I'm not up for that. Don't tell me about it. You can, actually. All of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure to get our newly designed free app on the homepage of the LATalkRadio.com website, located towards the bottom of the page. And finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on the show to promote themselves, their products, and to help listeners with your sage career advice, we are currently booking for the new year, 2018. And as you know, our shows are always booked 6 months in advance. So get on the website now and submit for consideration. But you want to go to a separate website. It's questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and go to the contact link for consideration. Okay, I am so excited to have this guest on the show today. I love this woman. I obsess with her. As a matter of fact, when she's not looking today, I will be cutting a piece of her hair, because I believe that if you mixed it with some sort of tincture, that you would become as wonderful and as talented as she is. Her name is Linda Palmer. Yes, I know. Imagine. I know, she's like, what is this tacky little MP3? I have him do the gong, and then we have the applause, and people really love it. At first, they were writing in saying, oh, please don't do that. And then people got used to it, and they're like, I love the applause. Add more, add more, add more. So let me tell you a little bit about Linda. Not the gong. That's Albert. I forgot to introduce my little co-host over there, Albert. Also, he runs the board and he takes pictures and video, as you all know. Now, Linda Palmer is an award-winning writer, director, producer, and founder of Runaway Productions, an alter ego agency. And Linda's primary focus is telling stories that make a difference and have some social relevance. We all want social relevance, do we not? Well, she will write a story about it. If you have some and she doesn't know about it, email her. I'm sure she'll write a story about it if it's good and if it's a blockbuster. She thinks it has potential. She's a member of the Television Academy, Women in Film, and Film Independent. And some of her credits include Kat Dext in Koski. I had a problem with that. I had to say that like five times. Kat Dext in Koski. Passage, My Name is Lamar, Sienna's Choice, Our Father, Last Call at Murray's, Halloween Party, The Wedding Video, Look at Me, and Carbon Dating. And Halloween Party, very interestingly, Halloween just passing, I want to bring that up. It earned the distinct honor of having its original song entitled Voodoo on the Oscar contender list in 2012. And Our Father, another short, was an Oscar. Oh, I've been hitting the wild turkey. You can tell I've been hitting it before I got here. Our Father was an Oscar consideration. It was in Oscar consideration in 2015. And Carbon Dating was in Emmy consideration for Best Web Series and Best Actress in a Short Film. Here we go again. Short form. Best Actress in a Short Form Series in 2016. You can look at all of her credits on imdb.com. And we were going to have the lovely Ray Davis with us today, but unfortunately she was not able to make it. But I just wanted to say, hey, Ray, just in case you ever listen to this show. You can go check out some of these particular projects of Linda's at catdextfranchise.com, turnovermovie.com, passageshortfilm.com, runawayproductions.tv, .facebook.com, and oh, that's Bat Chat Radio. What am I talking about? Runaway Productions LA, I think it is, .com. So we are going to talk to Linda in a couple seconds, but I just want to give you just a couple advertisements, just a couple. First, I want to thank our guest that was on a couple weeks ago, Joe Estevez. As you know, he's a professional actor. He's the brother of Martin Sheen, uncle of Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. And he was on the show, and we loved him. He is going to be starring opposite William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd in the romantic comedy Senior Moment. And it's coming out, I'm not sure, I think he said the beginning of the year. We're not sure. We're going to have him back on to promote it, but go to the website seniormomentmovie.com. Oh my gosh, he has scenes with William Shatner and what Christopher Lloyd too. And if you listen to the interview, it sounds so funny. Who doesn't want to watch William Shatner? It's something funny. He's just naturally funny. Also, I wanted to thank the very esteemed and elite guest that came on I think it was a month or two ago. They represent the A-list casting community. They're called the Casting Community Action Committee member panelists. And that included casting director Gary Zuckerbrod, who is a veteran casting director. I mean, you look him up, the credits go on and on and on. And the darling Alan Hooper. He currently casts for Modern Family, and yay, Alan, they just got signed for two more seasons, so yay for you. And also Jason Kennedy, who, oh my God, he's so darling. He helps to cast for NCIS, right? Just NCIS. And we had Asia Rae Coleman, who's an actress and author on, and also David H. Lawrence, the 17th. Make sure you get the 17th in there. And he created this wonderful app for actors to help them memorize their lines. Lord, that's something I need. One word, one line. I have tons of casting director friends, and they're always trying to cast me for something. I'm like, no, if it's one word or one line, I can do it. But if it's more than a line, I can't memorize it. They find that fascinating, by the way. Also, they would love for you to support the casting director workshops. So please Google and learn more about how you can help. Casting director workshops are so very important. And as you know, various people are trying to shut them down. So we cannot have that. So please support the veteran casting directors. Now, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
You just had a wild Halloween, am I right?
Yes, we happen to like Halloween at our house.
Who doesn't love Halloween? I have actually run across people who say, oh my God, it's not even a holiday.
Yes, it is.
Who
You're
are those
crazy.
People?
Halloween is like right up there. Christmas is
this
my
This is
first.
What I do to those people.
I know. We need to throw some. We need to throw something on them. Not acid, but hey, keep it up.
Kool-Aid.
Keep irking us.
No, some spiked punch. That's what they need.
That's true. Oh, they don't have a problem with drinking spiked punch, but they don't want it to be at a Halloween party. Now, currently, you have...
Well, just one second. Oh, you do know I was married on Halloween.
I think I saw that. I think I like something.
Yeah, I was a corpse bride and he was a corpse groom.
Isn't
Imagine
that. Amazing. I've never met anyone that was married on Halloween. I bet you chose that date just because it was Halloween.
Yes. Well, actually, Halloween that year was on a Thursday. So we all dressed in black, went to the beach, drew a pumpkin in the sand, and our little... guy that was marrying us, our officiant, he had his little pumpkin tie on. He did the ceremony. Then we went home. And then that Saturday, we had a giant party with 100 people at our house, and that was our wedding. And everyone that was there says that was the best wedding they ever went to.
Oh, my. And that was a while back, Linda. What are we talking
what are
here?
You, what are you saying? Because, I'm old?
No, I'm saying that you have been able to hold a man. You locked him down, and you've been able to hold him, which is not easy in this town. So.
Well, for a few years.
All right, a few years.
Yeah.
All right.
If I do another movie, though, that's another story.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that. Now, you currently have a bunch of films in pre-production. You have, now I'm curious about this because it says Cat Dex and Turnover. But then I saw Cat Dex and Noski. What is the difference
now,
between
real
the
quick,
two?
I'm going to correct you on
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I used to say Nkosi, but that's wrong. It's Nkosi.
Okay. Nkosi. Okay.
Which means in Zulu, king.
Mm.
So it's Nkosi is the lion star of the picture.
Oh.
Cat Dex is the female star. She's a badass ex-military soldier that's hunting poachers Tarantino style. She's so awesome. She is the new female hero of the day. And you know how, like, this is a hot button right now. People are tired of trophy hunters. They're so sickened by poaching and everything that's going on. This girl is like, she's like a vigilante. Okay. For the animals, but we like to call her Mother Nature's bouncer.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. So, and her name is Cat Dex. Dex because she's ambidextrous. That's her nickname in the military.
I like that.
And Cat actually, she's a lion whisperer,
ooh,
like Kevin Richardson.
Okay.
For any of those people that know Kevin Richardson,
okay.
The lion whisperer, mm-hmm. She can walk among the animals of the jungle and without a problem.
Ooh.
But she specifically hand raised this lion that sadly is killed in the film.
Oh.
And that's what sets her off. And
wow.
So, yeah.
And what happened?
The short film is about that moment.
Okay.
It's about Nkosi.
Okay.
So we just recently shot that. We shot one day up at Steve Martin's Working Wildlife in Fraser Park. Amazing people. These people are amazing. They have like 40 animals there. They have 5 lions, 4 bears, 15 wolves. They have 2 zebras, you know, so many. This beautiful, so nice, wonderful tiger that he's just beautiful. He's like 14 months. Amazing.
And they let you rent to shoot there?
We shot on their property.
Oh,
and
great.
They have 40 acres. And it's not Steve Martin, the actor. It's Steve Martin, the trainer.
I'm glad you specified that because I was going places while you were talking. I'm like,
Yeah, but no. He's been training for many, many years. Look him up on the internet. Steve Martin's a Working Wildlife. But this particular lion was Maasai, who plays Nkosi, and he's amazing. He's an 8-year-old male, so stunning. Like, our crew and everybody, they practically worked for free just to work with this lion.
Wow.
I mean, if you...
You don't get to be around the lion very often.
Did you see
sure.
the pictures?
No, I
oh,
didn't.
Oh, my goodness. When I show people the pictures of this lion, they're like...
Well,
they can't
you know,
even
if you,
believe it.
If
they're
you
like, did you go to Africa?
It, go to Linda's Facebook page. What
well,
page
yeah, yeah.
is it on?
It's on the Cat Dex page, which, by the way, it's Cat Dex. Just Cat Dex
just
on Facebook.
Cat Dex. D-E-X-X.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Cat_Dex on Twitter.
Okay. Cat_Dex on Twitter. So go there so you can see the
Are
pictures.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
On Facebook, we just today hit 67,000 friends.
Wow.
Look
oh
at
my
the little boy.
Oh, look at that. Oh, you gotta go check that little lion out.
He's not so little. He's not so little.
Well, yeah.
He's not so little, is he?
Well,
he's
8 years old.
8 years
wow.
old. He's stunning.
Whoa. He
yeah.
is beautiful.
Yeah.
My
so,
gosh.
Anyway, we're releasing a book, a novel next year.
Okay.
And we're releasing the short, put into film festivals.
Oh,
hopefully.
Yeah.
And so, and then we're pulling out a teaser, a proof of concept, and we're selling our franchise, which has like a sequel, a prequel. It has obviously our feature that it was all based on, and a TV series. And
wow.
we have like a video game. We have like an app.
My gosh.
It's incredible. We've been working on it for a year and a half developing it.
Oh, my gosh. I've never heard anyone who's ever come on my show that has all that activity going on. Now, you also have another film in pre-production called Turnover.
Yes, we have a special connection on that because Priscilla is one of our producers.
I should have gotten an applause for that. Now, for those who don't know about this film, which you should, but in case you don't, tell us what Turnover is about.
Turnover is a foodie film.
Oh,
yeah. And it's not just, yeah, it's not just a foodie film. It's a foodie film that deals with inclusion and diversity and what it's like to really be a family. So it's really about the sort of short pitch is it's about a restaurant owner who has to take a medical sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves his young, disgruntled manager in charge who has to hire a whole new crew. So he hires a bunch of misfits, including his replacement. Then he leaves. And 2 weeks later, the restaurant's in shambles because none of them know anything about this fringe restaurant. And the owner comes back and he tries to get rid of them, but they all have employment contracts. And he tries to change them and they can't be changed. And ultimately, they end up changing him and saving his life.
Oh, no,
literally
see that?
Saving his life.
Who isn't excited for that? And I love how it's Turnover. I mean, it's such
yes.
a great, that's a great spin on the word.
It is because it's a French restaurant.
Yes.
And then there's the turnover in the employees.
That's right.
And then there's just, you know, this whole...
And then turnover is a turnover. I mean,
right.
I love people that are clever when it comes up to making names. Like, there was a movie, and I'm, obviously, you can see I have a great love of the fork and spoon, so any foodie movie is for me. But there was one out recently with one title, and you should always keep your movies one or two titles. I know there's been more, but, you know, there research
yeah,
has
not
shown
Cat Dex
more,
and Cozy.
You should keep them. I couldn't believe this, but there's a guy who's a friend of mine. He's an actuary, and he was hired by the movie studios, and he had to come up with different... An actuary is someone who crushes numbers. He's sort of like an accountant, but like 20,000 times more... involved.
Right.
So they hired him to figure out what are the best titles for movies, the sellers, the ones that keep people's attention. And after like a year, I don't know why, but it took a year, it turns out that the titles with one or two words have been the most successful of all time.
I can see
and
that.
I, you know, because I guess it's easy to remember.
Totally easy.
Common sense. I didn't need a year. All you had to do, studio, was call me and ask me. I'm like, one more titles, for sure. Three have been successful, too. Saturday Night Fever. But I wouldn't go like, well, there was one like the Grand Prairie Country. So it was like five or six words. I don't even remember it. See
yeah,
that?
See, that's
but then
the problem.
I remember The Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I think, with Jim Carrey. See?
Yeah, but that's unusual.
Yeah.
That's unusual. And it was a great movie.
Right. So anyway, Turnover is going to be turned up when we get this one done. Now, what do you feel you're heading in? Films that you have currently that are heading into festivals are Passage, obviously, Cat Dex, Sienna's Choice, and My Name is Lamar. Can you tell us just a little bit about what each film is about and why does why does making all of these films and working on them all at once intrigue, motivate, and stimulate you? Because I mean, most people can't handle getting through one film, and you can rock out like 3-4 at a time.
You know what, Priscilla?
It's amazing. Do you not know that?
I don't sleep. Don't you look at my Twitter at like 3 in the morning?
Oh. Wow.
That's when I'm resting and I'm doing all my political posts.
Oh, Lord, a political post.
That's when I have time for that. Honestly, and I heard this when I first started out, you always have to have multiple projects going. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I kind of took that to heart, and I do have, like, you know, at any given time, 4 to 6 projects at some level. But mostly I think that work begets work. And so, you know, if you're... I mean, we all know how hard it is to raise money.
Right.
It is so hard to raise money.
Yes.
I wish someone would tell me the magic secret, because I don't know. But anyway, you know, so in between the times I've done features, I've tried to fill in with some shorts. So, you know, these shorts, you meet people, you make new connections. And each one I've put, you know, made some really great relationships that have led to the other ones.
Right.
So, you know... Real quick, My Name is Lamar is a great social piece about an African-American man who, it was written by Dale E. Turner, who stars in it, and it's about a moment in his life where something happened to him in a restaurant, and he wasn't sure how to deal with it, and this is a piece that helps him deal with it. It's totally relevant today, and I just wish everyone would see it 7 minutes. It's a profound movie for 7 minutes.
Where can we see it?
It's still in festivals. I think it's wrapping up, but it's won a lot of awards. And just, you know, go to his website, which I believe is mynameislamar.com.
Okay.
And, you know, you'll find out where it's playing.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I've seen it. It really is good. And I am a huge fan of short films. I tell you, I love short films. And a short film that's made well, that's all you need is 5 or 7 minutes, really. I mean,
yeah. And we shot that in one day. So, you know, it's a couple months of prep and, you know, the whole thing, putting it together. So that wasn't like a huge, huge commitment. Sienna's Choice has been in festivals for a little over a year. It's still in some festivals right now, and it's about sort of, end-of-life decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having to sign the form when you don't want to... What's it called?
NDR. DNR.
DNR.
Do not resuscitate.
Yeah. So the girl that stars in it wrote it with 2 other writers, and she's just won all kinds of awards. Her name's Janelle Tana. It just did such a fantastic job in that piece, and she's just amazing. And she's actually going to be one of our cast members in Turnover as well.
Yay.
Yeah. So you know, and actually in My Name's Lamar, Julia, who played Lamar's wife.
Julia Parker.
We made Passage together after Lamar. And then she's also going to have a role in Turnover.
Oh, great.
So, you know, a lot of these people, I love working with them. They're super awesome.
I want to talk about what you just said. It just sparked a question. I have run across people, and I'm with you. I believe when you find a good bunch of people, good people who can work as cast and crew and vice versa, you stick with them and you just keep making projects with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also run across people who say that's nepotism, and, you know, how are other people supposed to get a chance? But you know what? I personally have found that when I try to give new people a chance, I mostly get disappointed. Either they don't show up. I mean, and I get embarrassed because my credibility is very important. And if I refer someone to, first of all, I have A-list casting director friends. I do not refer anyone to them. So stop sending me emails. But no, I don't, because a couple times I did, humiliated. I mean, because they didn't show up or they ended up causing problems on the set. And I take everyone for their word until you give me reason not to. So
yeah. It's really hard. And, you know, I
stick with the same
people.
Yeah,
I used to wonder, you know, how is it that all these people, you know, stay with these same people?
Right. Steven Spielberg
does it. Yeah.
Right?
And their DPs are working with them all the time. They're, you know, production designers, you know, all these people, they work with them all the time. But I totally understand why, because you can count on them.
That's right.
It's not nepotism unless you're related to them.
That's right.
It's just like they're a really good employee.
That's right.
You know, it's just that you work, we're all freelance for the most part.
Right.
So you work when you work, you know, and if they're not available, then I have a chance to work with somebody new. You know, so it is great to get to know other people, because there are going to be times when, you know, your crew and your cast that you normally would like to work with aren't available.
Right.
And so, you know, you develop those relationships for that time.
But little tip, if you do get this opportunity to be cast, please don't mess it up. You think there's always going to be opportunities for you.
Can I just say one thing on that?
Yes.
I cannot tell you how many times we've had auditions, and first of all, it's really hard to get an audition, right? Yeah, it's really hard to get an audition.
That's
There's so many people trying to get auditions.
Right.
So when you actually have an audition, which this has happened to us so many times, I swear, any casting session we've had, we have 75% of the people show up.
Mm.
25%.
That's right.
To, or more, do not show up. You think we're ever going to see those people again? We don't see those people ever again. The casting director goes, oh, off the list.
That's right.
So you just killed your chance with at least one director out there.
That's right. And it's a small world, as in any business, but the word will spread and you will be blacklisted. Mm-mm-mm. Now, it is that time again in the entertainment industry where filmmakers are all pumped up and super excited for the AFM. And I think you and Ray attended over the weekend. So can you explain what the AFM is and why it's so important to attend for everyone, not just filmmakers?
Well,
people think you just have to be a filmmaker. No. Everybody should go to this, and Linda's going to tell you why.
Yeah. AFM, American Film Market. Now, it's not necessarily for filmmakers. It's much more for a distributor to sell a film to a buyer. So it happens in Santa Monica every year. It's been going on for many, many years. It's at the Lowe's Hotel. They take all of the hotel furniture out, and they put offices in with all the posters of all the movies on the walls. And it's really, it's eight floors of distributors and sales agents selling to everybody, every buyer in the world. So what happens is, imagine all those people, you know, just pounce, or, you know, are completely filling up Santa Monica, right?
Right.
Or that general area. And so that's why it's really important for filmmakers to go, because you have the business just landing in Santa Monica, and you can go there, and you have to have a badge if you want to go up and meet any of these people.
Yeah, there's a website where you can buy your tickets.
Yeah, but they don't want to talk to you unless you have a movie.
That's right.
And because they're trying to sell. So if you go up there, you're going to tick them off. But if you have a movie to sell, call them beforehand. They actually on their website, they have a great way of how to approach them. But just, I'm going to put this out there, because I say it to everyone, every filmmaker should go there once, hang out in that Lowe's lobby, get to know the landscape. Go there once, and then that way, when you have a movie, you'll understand the process of how they're going to sell that movie.
That is true. And I have a friend that works there, so what you just said is so applicable. It really ticks them off when they do that.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking to meet with film investors, there is something called, and I wanted to get this out there, it's called the Independent Producer's Guide to Financing Your Movie. And it might be worth you checking out, because it provides information and tactics on how to find and meet prospective film investors.
Can I get that book?
Yes! Yes, so that you can make your movie. And there's this guy, and I'm going to just tell you now, I do not know this man other than I somehow got on his email list, and he kept sending these wonderful emails. And I am a person who loves the way, I am very anal retentive about the way people write. Like, I have to put the comma and the dot and the semicolon, and I get annoyed when people, I know it's so trivial and just, but that's just the way I was raised. So when I get an email from someone who it's improperly written, I gotta admit, I delete it. Mm-hmm. And if I do read one, it's going to be written very well, with like words that pop, or a sentence that's grab your attention, or something that makes me go, this is well written, I'll read on. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy, I kept getting emails from him. His name is Jason Brubaker.
Again, he's so awesome.
I do not know him.
He's so awesome.
Oh, you know him?
Yes.
Personally?
Yes.
Oh, well, and Linda did not know I was going to be talking about him until just out. Did you not?
No,
you
I did not know.
Well, Jason Brubaker's film, it's called
Distriver.
It's called MakeYourMovieNow.com. And he does nothing but filmmaking stuff. For example, he just sent something out called Pitching 101. And I found this very interesting, and I want to get your viewpoints on this. He says, do not sell past the sale. As soon as someone agrees to your offering, shut up. Bail out. Too much talking after the verbal agreement before you get them to sign on the dotted line will more than likely blow your deal before it begins. Again, I have a friend who works there who constantly tells me that she sees this all the time. So, Linda, do you agree, disagree, and can you add any other advice to that statement?
Absolutely. I was in sales for many, many years, and that is hands down total great advice. People always say too much.
Yeah.
They always say too much. It's just like
and it can be a nervous habit. People
They just talk because they don't like to not, you know, they don't like the still air.
Yes.
It's hard. It's hard to get to that point. But yeah, when someone agrees, then just let them, you know, that's a sales tactic. Let them be the next one to talk, you know, and it's almost a game. Like if you talk before, then you lose.
Right.
Right. So absolutely, that's true. I know Jason because I knew of all that stuff, but also he is involved in a company called Distribber.com, and it's a distribution company. He's at AFM.
Okay.
And I have our father with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's for self-distribution, it's an amazing, amazing tool. Because you control everything.
Yeah.
Like there's no cost going out to distributors, you know, that whatever percentage it is that they, you know, negotiate with you that they're going to own, it's not there. You own everything. You just pay a small fee. Well, you pay a fee up front for them to be the aggregator and get it on Amazon or iTunes or whatever. And then once the money starts coming in, you pay a small, small fee yearly because they are housing your movie on their hardware. Okay. So other than that, you're making everything, and you can go and you can look at your statements, you can see your sales every month.
And this is a company that he owns, and
he's a part of it.
And he's at the AFM.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go. It's called Distribber. I didn't
Distribber.
Distribber. Spell that.
It's DISTRIBBER.com. Distribber.
Darn. Well, that is really great to know. Another thing I highlighted was he wrote how to meet with film investors without looking like an amateur. That is, again, my friend who works at AFM says that happens all the time. And she said it's a shame because she knew a couple people who are extremely professional and articulate and have like four masters. And when they get to this particular phase, they look like amateurs and then they lose, you know, whatever momentum they've gained. So he said, before you even seek out a meeting, you'll need a clear vision for what you want to accomplish. More importantly, you'll need to find a reason why your prospective film investor should care about you and your project. What are some tips that you, Linda, can give to help a filmmaker that will create like a, you know, a terse, concise version of or a vision for their professional pitch?
Well, I mean, whenever it's for investors is what you're talking about. If you're going to go to an investor, you have to have definitely a business plan. And there's lots of places out there that you can see how to put a business plan together. I think even Jason has something like that. Or if not, there's other ones out there.
Google it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you have to have a business plan and you have to be able to show why the investor's going to want to be involved with you. And that's going to be any variety of reasons. Probably number one, they want to make their money back. But it could also be that they want to be involved in your film for artistic reasons.
Right.
Okay. You're involved in my film because you're a food lover.
Oh.
Right? And yeah.
And a Linda Palmer lover.
That's true. And so, yeah, this isn't her first rodeo with me.
So don't, Linda makes such a great point. Don't be afraid to approach anyone because think about your film. Break it down. Is there food in it? Oh, do I know anyone who owns a restaurant? And you can also think about, hey, how can I incorporate something from their restaurant, maybe a logo or a t-shirt, and put it as a prop on a wall or maybe incorporate a specific dish? You got to think outside the box and how you can give them free advertisement, or actually they get advertisement. It's called trade for exposure.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You got to think like that.
Yeah, yeah. Why do they want to be involved with you?
Right.
You have to, just like he says, you have to plan it and go into the meeting knowing and get them to almost come up with the idea
Yes.
That's even more valuable. Mm. If you can plant the seeds and they will come to you because they want that, like say I come to you and you want to be,
right.
have something you want on my wall. Say you're an artist and you want your art on my walls.
Right. And say I own a restaurant and Linda would come and say, oh, you know, I'm doing this film and I was thinking about asking. And then who is their competitor? And they want to jump on it first. I'm not sure if I want to get them involved. But so it could be a simple reason is you know that they're a competitor, a McDonald's versus a Burger King.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to jump on it first. So you just have to. This is called show business. And so many people mm-hmm. forget that. So many people don't focus on that, Linda.
Right. You're exactly right. It's a business.
And you know what? It's great that, you know, I run into actors who say, I don't want to focus on the business. I just want to work on my craft. Well, you know what? Your craft is you got to be your own accountant, your own salesperson, mm-hmm. your own marketer, network, your administrator. It's a business.
Maybe they should change it to business show.
No.
Right? What do you think?
Business show. Yeah.
Or hire that team.
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have, if you're not good at it, hire those people, but a lot of those people don't have enough money. I don't have enough money for all that, so I wear a bunch of hats.
And you learned how to wear those hats.
Right.
There is no excuse for you to not know how to do all of these things. There's Google.
Right.
There's the internet. If you don't have, go to the damn library. They
YouTube
still have
it.
Them.
YouTube it.
There is nothing that you can't learn on YouTube.
That's true. You just type it in. How do I sell my movie?
It is true, isn't it?
That's true.
Well, I tell you, we had so many other things, but we're running out of time. I want to get what you're, because you are in the trenches. You are rocking and rolling, and you're so successful. So people are going to want to know what your viewpoint is. I get so many emails with people saying, what type of jobs do you recommend to supplement your income while you pursue your career as a director? Now, actors, they can be barmaids and hosts, but I like to think outside the box, not those typical jobs. Mm-hmm. What can you do?
Well, for me, because I had such a long history in sales, I do have my marketing company, Alter Ego Agency, and one of the things I do is I do a thing called data mining, and for me, it's really easy. It's basically kind of like telemarketing, mm-hmm. but what I do is I actually go into, or I call into companies, and for instance, in the medical industry, I work in the medical industry a lot, and I call in and I develop a very detailed lead. Like I find out, for instance, I'll work for a medical distributor, and they want to sell a radiology system or a PAC system or, you know, some sort of digital system.
Yeah.
So I call, say, an orthopedic place, and I find out what kind of equipment they have, how old it is, if they're thinking about getting another one, you know, how many techs they have, blah, 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 who's the buyer, all this. And I give them a very qualified lead, and so they pay me for those leads.
Ah.
So that's something that works for me, but everybody has some sort of experience, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether or not you are a waiter because you need to be able to have some time off. I think that because we're all freelance artists, we need to have something that we do that can be done anytime. So just find those jobs that you can work like that, you know, that you can work, you know, in during the night, you know, doing something, or you can work off hours. You don't have to work that standard 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever it is.
And what do you feel are three characteristic traits that are needed to reach your goal as a continuous working director? Because it's a little different than a working actor.
Yeah. I think honestly, the probably the single thing that makes me,
because directors can't go to auditions, actors can.
No, the single thing.
How do they get their gigs?
Well, no, the single thing that has worked for me that I think it's the same thing for everybody else, or they should strive towards it, is persistence. I am so persistent, I just stick with it. I work on projects for years and years and years, and eventually I'm going to find the answers. I'm going to wear people down. I'm going to find, you know, people give up way too soon.
Yeah.
And I found that again in sales, you know, like the minute I think I'm not, that this person's not going to buy from me anymore, and then I call them one more time and then they give me an order.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like the more you do it, the more you talk to people, the more you're out there with that project. Now it can take years.
Yeah.
Some of the projects I've worked on have taken like 10 years, so it's not like
but
an easy thing.
But how many movies have we heard about that's taken 14,
exactly.
20 years and they end up winning Oscars? So
exactly.
Keep on going.
Persistence.
Awesome. Now, what do you, as a director, what are some do's and don'ts while you're meeting people? Like, for example, you have to go to party. You really need to network. You really need to market, right? What are some do's and don'ts? For example, when you're an actor, I would say do not go to a party and whip out your headshot and resume and shove it in, you know, a director's face or producer's face.
What, oh, they're not supposed to do that?
Yeah. Oh. Uh-oh. We could be getting some kind of advice. But as a director, you're going to these parties. Now, what do you do if you want to become a director? What are some do's and don'ts?
Well, I mean,
it's delicate.
It's all about relationship.
You run your main goal would be to meet a producer. Like an actor, yeah. It would be your goal would hopefully be to meet a director or a casting director. A producer, yeah, but you know, you want to start off with that. But you as a director, your targets would be producers. So
right.
How would you
approach? I mean, obviously they need to see my work.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I think that I've found some of my work because I've been at film festivals and people have seen my work and then they want to hire me to do work. So that's happened with My Name is Lamar, Sienna's Choice, Carbon Dating. Mm-hmm. Those actors who had projects, and this is taking stuff in your own hands. This is like, I'm not waiting for you anymore. I'm doing my own thing. All of these actors were also writers, wrote their own material and came to me to direct because they saw my work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people need to see your work. If they see what you can do, so you have to have a reel, you have to have a sharp reel, and you have to get in their hands. And so, because I've been in the festival circuit for like the last 4 years, you know, I'm meeting a lot of people, and people are seeing my work, they're seeing the awards, they're seeing all the excitement, and they want to be involved. So, you know, that's a big part of it. But I'd say if you're just at a networking event, you just need to like meet producers and give them your card and be, you know, congenial and build a relationship. Don't expect to say, hey, you know, I'm a director, you know, here's my card, hire me for your next
yes
year. You know, maybe you can help them in some other way.
That's right. And don't have the smell of desperation. Don't bring that perfume. That is a perfume you don't want to wear. That is the 1 minute mark. So we are very excited. You have so many projects. I'm hoping that you have as much success with Turnover that you did on Our Father, because my God, what are you up to, like 22 film festival awards for Our Father?
It was in 26 festivals and it won 40 awards.
Isn't that?
See, and it's actually now it's in distribution, so it's not any more festivals.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the type of person that you want to align yourself with or to seek out. And what I think is great is that you take your knowledge and wisdom and you are actually offering, it was part of a donation package, I believe, mm-hmm. but it was a donation perk. Mm-hmm. But Linda videotapes these little sessions on how to make it, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. Now, my producing series.
Your producing series. Is that available for anyone other than?
Well,
you got to see this, people.
Well, that was for our passage.
Right. It was a donation perk for
our
passage.
Yeah. People that contributed on the producer level got that perk. Sometime down the road, I may put it out there for other people.
You need to charge thousands of dollars for your.
Yeah, trust me, the really time I've had to put into it.
You do. People will pay you a lot of money to give the wisdom that you gave.
Well,
Thank you. I'm serious because
I have to go home and edit another one on casting right now.
I know. You're down one. We're missing one.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. So is there anything that people can do to help make Turnover, Kat Dex and Turnover a success?
Yes. Actually, right now we're in post on Kat Dex. And so they can go to catdexfranchise.com. There's a contribute page. And if you want to join us, you can join us from $5 to, you know, being one of our producers there. That would be amazing because we're going to...
I didn't get that link. Send that to
Yeah, but, you know, and here's the thing. It's catdexfranchise.com. But the thing is, that like you said originally, I'm interested in things that are socially relevant. And this is all about stopping poaching and all about stopping trophy hunting. So it's a really, really important topic to, you know, to save the African wildlife. But Turnover, same thing, turnovermovie.com, and there's a page on there that you can join us.
And
you could be part of it.
Yes, you could be part. Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's a feature. That's a feature film, and that's my next one I'm doing. We're shooting that June next year.
Wow.
So join us.
Wow. Oh, I'm excited about that. You want to be a part of...
Well, you're going
to
be in it, too.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, you know you will.
I hope so. Woo! Oh, my God. I was reading that script. I'm like, uh-oh, it's more than one word. Did I not prompt Linda? Does she not know I can't memorize lines?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Even
That's
if you
a
don't
great
get,
part.
If, even if you don't get that part... There's other parts.
I'm happy being a old has been in the bar. Just
you
put
and Albert.
Some real.
There's
I'm a background person.
No, there's another. There's another one. It's Mr. and Mrs. James.
Oh,
Mr.
Yeah.
and Mrs. James.
They're crazy.
They just show up and they're like they're a little, you know, they're a little bothersome.
Oh, that's us. We are bothersome. We are.
They want their way when they show up at the restaurant.
You gotta check out this movie. It is hysterical. I mean, I of course read the script and. I'm involved as a producer, so I'm a little biased, but even if I wasn't, this is really funny.
Thank you.
You got some funny crap out there going on.
Yeah, I have a great co-writer, Lorraine Griffith, that's actually doing a little bit of a rewrite on it right now, and I'm super excited about it.
Oh, I say all the way up until the day. My goodness gracious. All right. Well, we have had such a fantastic time with Linda today. We hope she comes back for the new year so we can find out what happened.
Yeah.
When will it be complete? When will you be completely done with...
Catch X will be done in probably January.
Okay.
And Passage is done now, and we're going to be entering film festivals.
Turnover
so
will probably be
Turnover,
done.
We're going to be shooting in June and probably ready to for festivals and stuff by September.
Yeah, so you're still casting for that, so still
an
opportunity to audition for that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Ricky Masler, our casting director, is going to be putting, she's going to be putting casting notices out for three roles. Henry, mid to late 20s, like a Ezra Miller type.
Mm.
William, like a, would be like a Will Smith, what's his son's name, Jaden Smith? Like Jaden Smith type. And the young son, Sean, 8-year-old.
Ooh.
Yeah, so those three casting notices are going out soon.
Okay, and where would these, is it just going to be on Actors Access?
Actors Access Breakdown Services.
Okay, keep it in mind, Turnover.
Don't say you didn't hear from here.
That's right, you got the scoop. Well, thank you so much, Miss Linda Palmer.
Thank you so much, you too.
And thank you, Ray, you're here with us. You're here with us.
Yeah, Ray had a really bad migraine and had to go home early.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, she lives up north, so.
Oh.
But she's home safe.
Thank goodness, Ray, because she's got to start making my Halloween stuff for next year. I'm going to order some custom pieces.
Oh, my
gosh. Did I not show you? Oh, I got to show you how. Oh, my gosh. I have all of her stuff displayed all over the house. It's my screensaver. I put it all together. But I'm trying to get her to make some Christmas pieces for me. I think her sister-in-law
nice.
Does
Yeah. Well, we didn't talk about Bat Chat Radio because Ray and I are hosts of Bat Chat Radio.
That's I know. And we're going to. I was on it. And it's going to air December 18th.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And it's Halloween all year long.
Oh, that's
it's Halloween.
Right.
It's for the Halloween obsessed.
Yes. And you talk to like all the people in the horror genre.
We talk we talk to everybody that loves Halloween, like Halloween artists, retailers, you know, haunts, whatever. But also anybody that works in the entertainment industry, like producers of horror films, actors in horror films, makeup people, you know.
Ooh.
So because we're producers and we're
So are
Halloween
you always
lovers.
Looking for guests?
Because always looking for guests.
I'll keep you in mind. I'll send some people to you.
Awesome.
Bat Chat Radio. On Facebook. You got to check it out, but I will be on there
December
18th. I don't know if there's another guest on there, but I know I'm
No, just you.
Just me.
Just you.
Oh, my. All me, all the time. All right. Well, next week, unfortunately, I will not be having a show. My birthday is next Sunday. Actually,
happy birthday.
Thank you. But we will be back the following week. And again, December is for the entertainment attorneys, so A-list entertainment attorneys who really have A-list clients, and I'm not going to mention you have to tune in to see, but it will be worth your while. So thank you, everybody. Happy... Oh, Halloween's gone. Oh, my gosh. I was about
happy
to say...
Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yes.
Thanksgiving. My favorite time of year.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you soon on Question Reality. Say bye to your fans, Linda.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.